a copy of this morning's order of service for morning prayer, and you are very welcome. It's lovely to see you, and it's lovely to hear your voices as we worship God together from all over the place. What a privilege it is to be able to do this. So let's begin. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
The first reading is taken from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in our ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And so we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 116, beginning at the first verse. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen. As we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may we call upon your name, raise the cup of salvation, and so proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come in glory. Amen.
The second reading is taken from St. Mark's Gospel. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'll start by asking a direct question. Perhaps it's a little too direct. Have you ever felt ashamed of your faith? How easy is it to admit that you are a Christian? Do people at work know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Do your neighbours know? Is it part of About You on social media? If you were asked to describe yourself, would it be up there, first on the list, above wife, mother, sister, teacher, etc., etc.? I'm not really pointing the finger, as I'm talking as much to myself as I am to you. But if I'm honest, there have been times in my life when I have struggled to say that I am a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. And even now, there are times when it is far easier to say that my job involves working with people, or I'm a vicar and I go to church, obviously, than to say that I follow Jesus and that he is my Lord. So it follows that I have found it rather difficult reading Jesus' words in this week's gospel reading. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. In verse 38. Sadly, there are lots of legitimate reasons to be ashamed of being a Christian, and we should be ashamed of some of the terrible things which have been done and continue to be done in the name of Christianity and of Jesus. We have much to repent and much to change. People have died. Lies have been told. Voices have been silenced. Power has been abused. The sins of the past and of the present have consequences for us. But the nub of today's gospel isn't really about the failings of the church. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Who is he? Jesus asks his disciples a straightforward question. Who do people say that I am? In other words, what's the gossip? What are people saying? Well, clearly, people had been saying stuff because the disciples come back with a reply. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. I wonder whether there might have been other answers too that Mark didn't record. A lunatic, a blasphemer, a trickster, a fraud, a traitor? Or could the answer have been, sorry, Jesus, actually, lots of people really don't care who you are. They just don't like you. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't affirm or deny the disciples' answers. He doesn't get involved in a conversation. He just listens and no doubt takes it all in. But then Jesus asks another question. Who do you say that I am? I suspect that at that moment there was a long silence. I can imagine the disciples looking down at their feet, examining their fingers, rubbing the back of their neck, anything to fill the embarrassing silence that hung in the air, desperately hoping that someone, anyone, would speak. I can also imagine Jesus waiting patiently for an answer, wanting to hear what his dear, dear friends would say about him. Will they say the same as the people? Or will they say something different? Will their hearts reveal something deeper? What have they seen and experienced of Jesus? Do they really know him? Do they really trust him? Do they really love him? With his second question, Jesus asks his friends to forget what other people say and to let him know what they think. Who do they think Jesus is? Jesus puts them on the spot. Up until now, they have been expressing the opinions of spectators, detached onlookers, and now Jesus challenges them to express their own opinions. Who do you say that I am? The same question is asked of us. Who do we say Jesus is? It's not enough to rely on other people's answers or to quote other people's opinions. It doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what I say. It matters what I believe. And at some point, we have to answer for ourselves, work out what we think, say what we believe. Who do you say that I am? And then in steps Peter, bold, brash, reckless Peter. Peter breaks the silence by telling Jesus exactly what he thinks. You are the Christ. Well, well done. That's the right answer, or at least it should be. But here Mark's account of this incident gets a bit weird. instead of congratulating Peter for giving the right answer, Jesus tells Peter to be quiet and starts telling Peter grim tales of suffering and torture, pain and death. And at that point, Peter takes Jesus to one side and starts to tell him off. And then Jesus turns and rebukes Peter in return. And the words Jesus uses are shocking. "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Poor Peter. You can't help but feel sorry for him. What did he get so very wrong? He got the right answer. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. But when Jesus starts to unpack what it actually means to be the Messiah, Peter doesn't want it. He doesn't get it, and he rejects it. Surrender, torture, humiliation and death, losing everything, that's not what is to happen to the Messiah. Peter's profession of faith may sound impressive, as if he's nailed it, but actually he has no idea what Messiah means. He has so much more to learn. Peter's response to Jesus' question is earnest and honest, but misguided. It's also very, very human. Peter wanted a Messiah, but not a Messiah like Jesus. And so I have been left thinking, what sort of Messiah do I really want? Honestly, how would I answer Jesus' question? Is Jesus the Son of God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Christ? Or do I try and construct a Messiah in my own image, suiting my own lifestyle, my own needs and comforts? A Messiah that fits in with my own priorities and preferences? Or is the Jesus I follow the one who made Peter reel with shame? Jesus, the Messiah, who is humble and lowly, full of self-sacrifice and self-denial, the Messiah who was prepared to suffer and die, and who asks us to take up our cross and follow him. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father, God of love, hear our prayer. For the unity of the Church in witness and proclamation of the Gospel, God of love, hear our prayer. For the peace and stability of all peoples and for the leaders of the nations, God of love, hear our prayer. For our schools and colleges, for our places of work and leisure, God of love, hear our prayer. For your blessing on our homes, for our relations and friends and all whom we love, God of love, hear our prayer. For the sick and suffering, especially Jacques, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Morris, Ron, and Gordon, and all who minister to their needs. God of love, hear our prayer. For the recently departed, especially Dennis Holwell, that they may rest in peace, and for those who grieve, that they may know the hope of Christ. God of love, hear our prayer. And a special prayer for the peoples of Afghanistan. O God of mercy and of peace, we hold before you the peoples of Afghanistan. Be living bread to those who are hungry each day. Be healing and wholeness to those who have no access to healthcare amidst the ravages of pandemic. Be their true home to all who have been displaced. Be open arms of loving acceptance to those who fear because of their gender, ethnicity, religious or political views. Be peace to those engaged in armed conflict and those who live within its shadow. Turn our hearts and minds to your ways of just and gentle peace. Open our eyes to see you in all acts of compassionate care. Strengthen our hearts to step out in solidarity with your suffering people and hold us all in your unfailing love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who emptied himself of all but love in order to bring life in all its fullness. Amen.
Amen.
Let us commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And then the collect for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that, always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
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 And so, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Claire. We hope you have a great day, especially those of you who are celebrating their 90th birthdays. If you want to come and join us for tea at Templeton Village Hall to meet Claire in reality, then please do turn up at 4 o'clock because we're having a tea party. And we've got coffee morning on Wednesday morning, back on Zoom for those who'd like to join us there too. And some other dates about Bible studies starting on the 27th of October. We hope very much to see you or hear from you next Sunday at the same time. Have a blessed day. Enjoy the sunshine and see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.